Coming up on TMS, the Dust Bowl got Scott to thinking.
Rolling Stone defends their big stupid cover.
Fighting off home intruders with a guitar called Hero something.
Sharknado sequel is a go.
Damn it.
Robert Downey Jr. is the highest paid recovering cocaine addict in the world.
As it should be. Therapy Thursday.
And more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
No, things just don't happen the way they used to. But they still happen. Taboo, the forbidden fragrance. Taboo by Dana.
It's doggone exciting fun. The Morning Stream.
Tread softly, because you tread on my dreams. This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. It's TMS. Good morning, everyone. And hope that if you're listening to us from San Diego, that you're able to get a waffle without spending $14.
What?
Because everything, everything gets jacked up over there. When they have...
Oh, right, because San Diego Comic Cons is going on. Yes.
Yeah, I have family that lives there, friends who live near there, and they hate it. They hate it every year. Some of them are huge nerds, and they, you know, love the things that are happening there, but they can't stand what it does to the city. Mm. Like hotel rooms jump $200 and...
Sure.
You know, people... Listen, there are people at Nerdtacular going, I love the event. It was really fantastic in every way. But I really, really didn't like the cost of food. And I would say to them, right, it's fair point, and we're doing, and we're, things are already in motion to cheapen that next year.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't like everything got higher when people came in. It wasn't like they artificially bumped it. It was just already kind of expensive.
It's resort prices, and it's, you know, that's, sure. You the benefits of everybody being all in one place and not having to drive from a hotel to a central location and mm-hmm. try and have meetups that are outside of, you know, that some people can't attend because they don't have a vehicle, don't have transportation. There's a little price to pay, and it's a little bit more expensive food, but there are other options. I mean, there's that great deli in the pizza place. The plaza wasn't too bad.
Yeah, it was all right. I think those pizzas were like, I don't know, for a big one, they were like $20.
$20, yeah.
It's not great, but it's, you know, it's not Little Caesars either.
Right, but, exactly. The food, you got to admit, the food itself was really good.
Oh, it was fine, yeah. Even the Mexican place was pretty good. They were always, seemed like they were always slow. They were always late with whatever they were making, but, you know, whatever. I forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
Point is, San Diego, hope you can handle it. Enjoy your inflated prices for the next 5 days. And hope things get back to normal for you.
Can't wait to find out stuff that comes out of there, though. I like the news trickle from San Diego Comic Con.
I do too. You know where I get most of my news trickle from San Diego?
Tell me where you get your news trickle.
I get my
from
news
from Major Spoilers. I'm guessing.
I do actually. I get it from MajorSpoilers.com. People should go there. It's awesome, and Steven does a hell of a job summing all that stuff up. And he's good people. All right, so I gotta. You know, I've been watching these Ken Burns documentaries.
Mm-hmm.
And I finished that that piece
Prohibition
of Prohibition business. Yeah, yeah, it was real good. Really, really, really good. Lesson learned. Here's the lesson that I learned from Prohibition. And this was not forced down my throat by Ken Burns, who I think is a national treasure, and I will mourn his loss if he ever goes away. Because nobody is doing like the hard, deep history, non-bias, straight-up historical documentation. Nobody's doing that. Now, like I said yesterday on the show, he's doing it. Everything else is Aliens Among Us on History Channel. It's bullcrap. All that stuff sucks. History Channel is an affront to history. It's a ridiculous, stupid, dumb network. Look, it's fine to be... It's like TLC. When did TLC stop being the learning channel and start being about...
There's not a lot of learning.
No. It started being about two-headed people and horrible human beings that hate each other. And it's not... It's a horrible... A horrible shadow of its goals at one point. History Channel's no different. It's all hype. It's all shock and whatever. It's all aliens and ghosts hunting and all that bullcrap. It sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do anything historical, it's like, like I said, it's like Hitler was bad, bah, 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 and that's your story. That's your documentary. Well, Ken Burns is here to save us all and do real. You know, if here's how you know it's good. If a your average 12-year-old is bored out of his mind, that's how you know it's good. Because right. real history and real, what's the word? Doing your due diligence to truly dig up facts and talk about what in historical ways is work, and it's academic, and it's kind of boring to a 12-year-old kid who'd rather be playing Minecraft. That's just true. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I find it valuable and infinitely awesome and very entertaining. Anyway, so enough of that. Bottom line is this. Watching the Dust Bowl now, okay? Big two-parter.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I knew virtually nothing about the Dust Bowl. Why, you ask? I heard you ask. He's whispered it. I heard you say, why?
Why? Well, tell me why, Scott. Here's why.
Wait,
am I asking why you didn't know anything about the Dust Bowl?
Yes. Yes, that's why you're asking. And I'll give you an answer. Okay. I have an exact answer. Because they didn't teach us anything in junior high or high school about it. All they said was, and I didn't take any big, you know, American History College courses, so no one told me. My only exposure to it was, there was this time kind of during the Depression where there was big droughts and parts of Colorado, Oklahoma, and Texas all got hit real hard. That's all I knew. Holy crap, did I not know anything. Like, I knew nothing about what the Dust Bowl is, was, and forever will be remembered as if people just do a little bit of digging.
Grapes of Wrath was about the Dust Bowl, wasn't it?
Might have been. Might have, could have been.
Steinbeck?
Yeah. Steinbeck. Also,
oh, there we go. Yeah, people talking about it in the Tadpole. Yes.
Also, Woody Guthrie, born in the midst of that. Learned that yesterday. It is a fascinating thing about very interesting ecological conditions, human conditions. The dust storms are unfreaking believable. I mean, we're talking apocalyptic world is coming to an end business.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. And how much of the rest of the country that those actual dust storms, which just sounds kind of dumb on its face, but like the climate, like I can't imagine what people, like my mother-in-law, not around during this period, right? Didn't exist. Mm-hmm. She talks today like, we're all, the world is ending. Just look around you. I submit you put her back in Dust Bowl era, she would have said that and 50 times worse, because the stuff that was going on would have made you think everything was going to be done. We're all going straight to the Hades. So it is really, really fascinating and just cool. Very personal look at a lot of very individual families and then a much larger macro view of what the Dust Bowl was. It's really, really good. And it got me to thinking, okay? This is always dangerous, but it got
me
to thinking.
Lay it on me.
Mm-hmm. Hunger makes people work harder and other stupid things we used to believe about poverty. So that is something we truly actually believed at one point. There was a great article on The Atlantic, all right, that I found called Hunger Makes People Work Harder and Other Stupid Things We Used to Believe About Poverty. Arthur Young in 1771 said this, "Everyone but an idiot knows that the lower classes must be kept poor or they will never be industrious. They won't work hard if they're not poor." The common thinking was, if you weren't poor, you weren't working hard. Like you were.
Right. That was the only reason. That was the reason you weren't. You weren't succeeding. Was the reason you weren't wealthy.
Yeah.
Was because you weren't working.
Gotcha. And, right. And if the more you worked, the poorer you were, that meant the harder you would work. Therefore, you'd be industrious. Therefore, the backbone of our society would continue to grow. Which turns out to be utter BS. But before we get to more BS, we have on the line, all the way from beautiful San Diego, California, at the San Diego Comic-Con, Mr. Gnomewise himself, Todd Whitehead. What's going on?
Hey!
I'm not quite in San Diego yet. We're setting forth from Phoenix as we speak.
Oh, and you can watch the prices trickle up as you drive. You can see them rise.
God help me, yes.
Gonna pay a little more for gas, gonna pay a little bit more for that, like the Denny's Grand Slam $1.99 breakfast. Doesn't exist in San Diego. Not at all.
Not right now, anyway. And,
nope.
And the two-star hotel we're staying at, so I decided to go for the one that was like 0.8 miles from the venue.
Yeah.
It's like $320 for a cot.
Yep. Yeah. And if you went there a week from then, that'd be back down to like $50. So.
Right.
$50, yeah.
Enjoy. Right. So I hear you get to stream Wootstock this year. Tell us about what's going on so people can tune in.
looking like there shall be live streaming, at least audio. We're going to shoot for video as well. We're not sure what the bandwidth at the venue is going to be like, so don't want to promise you that, but here's hoping. So just keep an eye at alphageekradio.com. We'll have the links posted as it gets closer to showtime, 7 p.m. Pacific time this evening for Wootstock. And if you don't know what Wootstock is, where have you been?
Yeah. If you're not a, you're not a nerd, you're not a real nerd.
Right, yeah.
Basically, take the entertainment portion of Nerd Tech times a million.
Wow. Ooh. Well, that's a lot. And plus your phone confirmed
Arizona Meteor.
Is that what that was? So, yeah. So you got your Pollen Storm. You got your Adam Savage from Mythbusters. You got your Will Wheaton from Star Trek's Wesley Crusher will be there.
They've just posted the full roster over at Wootstock.net. That's WOOTSTOCK.net. So you can see who all is going to be there.
Yep.
And there's always surprise guests. This thing goes till like 2 a.m. It's great.
Many performers. Wootstock 5 is this one is, I believe, fifth one.
5.0. Yep.
Crazy. All right. AlphaGeekRadio.com.
Marion Call, Jonathan Colton, probably John Hodgman in some form or another.
Yeah.
And if Len Peralta isn't there, somewhere in the mix.
Yeah.
Oh, and if young Bill Duran is listening, and I know you are, I have your ticket. You need to call me.
As opposed to old Bill Duran?
Fantastic. Yeah, exactly. Crusty Bill Duran.
That's right. Well, Crusty Gnomewise, thanks for the update. And yes, alphageekradio.com, keep your eyes peeled. Gnomewise on Twitter, you can follow him, and I'm absolutely sure you'll be tweeting links as well. So watch for that.
You're damn right.
Good job, man. Be careful. Don't spend all your money in one place.
Take care, guys.
Good luck on that.
Nice. Yeah, clever.
So
there you go. Yeah, that'd be it.
Here's another thing somebody said. Philippe Heriquet, well-known French doctor speaking in 1740, said the poor are like the shadows in the painting. They provide the very necessary contrast to our society. Like, we need the poor, is what he's saying. Mm-hmm. Another one says, with a little less lyricism, here's an Englishman, Arthur Young, in 71. Everyone but an idiot knows that the lower class must be kept poor or they will never be industrious. I already mentioned that one. Bernard D. Manderville in 1732 said, it is manifest that in a free nation where slaves are not allowed of, that's a weird way of saying that, are not allowed of.
That's Yoda wrote that one, I think.
Yeah, he did. Slaves not allowed, they are. The surest wealth consists...
Participle is dangling there.
let's see. The surest wealth consists of a multitude of laborious poor. Laborious poor sounds like a Harry Potter
laborious
name.
Laborious poor.
This year's dark arts teacher, laborious poor. For besides, let's see, that they are never failing nursery of fleets and armies. Without them, there would be no employment... No enjoyment, no product of any country could be valuable. Well, look what we used to think of the poor. So having watched this documentary about poor people who did work their asses off. I mean, think about this, dude. In one day when the Depression hit the Midwest, wheat went from $1 a bushel. That's what it was, $1 a bushel. I don't know what if you account for inflation, what it'd be now. But $1 a bushel went from that to 25 cents a bushel in a day, which is... half of what it costs for them to even reap the stuff. Then the storms came. Then all this terrible stuff came. I mean, they were just pounded to death, these poor people. And then all that breathing in, all that dirt gave what they used to call the dust pneumonia. And kids and old people everywhere were dying.
Yeah, that stuff just collects in your lungs.
Yeah,
and
you were coughing up mud, basically. Anyway, my point was that I got perspective out of this thing. And it is a 10-year natural disaster. Like, it is not just simply, it was sad, it was poor, and the dirt didn't grow food very well.
It lasted 10 years?
A decade.
The dust storms? Yeah. Wow. Holy cow. Okay, I didn't know anything about this either. I didn't even read The Grapes of Wrath.
Some of these would come at noon on a sunny summer day with nothing in the sky, and then this thing looking like a mountain would come rolling into parts of Colorado, even affect your home state. These things would come rolling in, and they would look like mountain ranges rolling toward you. And when they would hit, they would bring dust from 100 other states, or I guess we don't have that many states, but, you know, other states. They bring dirt and dust from these other states, big brown globs of the stuff. And it would be pitch black midnight at noon day.
Wow.
That'd be how dark it was.
So much
dirt and grit in the air. Like, imagine the worst blizzard you can think of, but have it be dirt instead of snow. And then it would last, some of these would last 24 freaking hours. Like, just unbelievable stuff. It is just so worth just taking a you know, some time and watching that stuff. It's really interesting. All right, enough about my Ken Burns love.
Yeah, let's get back to the funny.
Yeah, back to the funny. We'll go from the
We've learned enough today, Scott Johnson.
Let's go from the Dust Bowl to the Trek Bowl. How about that?
Ooh, Trek Bowl.
You know, important stuff. Oh, damn it. Yes. I picked the wrong Daryl. There we go. Don't want to call that Daryl. All right,
I picked the wrong Daryl.
Daryl phone. I don't know why it wants to call two of those. Okay, there we go. Okay, here we go. We're calling Daryl. Here's his theme. Hold on to your butts. It's Stump and Trek Nerd, brought to you by
the Initiative Check Podcast. It's being rebooted. It's a gaming podcast made by your peers about news, full of reviews, and with serious discussion of pressing gaming matters. On Facebook, at the Initiative Check Podcast page, from Yagavos on Twitter, or on iTunes as the Initiative Check Podcast, streaming live at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time on Sundays at twitch.tv/IndieLove.
Indie Love.
Indie Love.
Sounds like a hippie something singer. Real quick, Daryl, before we get to the business at hand, we have we have Ralph on the phone. Hello, Ralph.
Okay. Plus, we need to.
Hey there.
Hey, what's up, man? What's going on?
I am driving down to work, but I wanted to call and say happy birthday since I missed you yesterday.
Oh, thanks, man. Mm. That's too nice of you.
Ralph apparently works on Lunar Base Alpha.
It's one of them Android phones. They're pretty fancy. dude, that's really nice. You know, you're one of my great.
You know what it sounds?
You sound real rough, but that's okay. You're probably doing it to your car.
You know what's scary when you call you on the when you call on the Skype app, that little frog eye is pulsating at me like Sauron. It's quite scary.
Ever watching.
That's right. When you're in Skype, we can actually see what it's like when you wear the ring.
Yeah, right. Don't forget that. Now you don't turn invisible though when you use it, so don't get excited. Here's the thing. Ralph is one of my great regrets at Nerdtacular 2013 because I barely saw him. I hardly saw him. I saw him a couple times. When I first got there, I was like, he's down there already playing games. Hey, what's going on? And then the wave hit, my own personal dust storm hit, and I never really saw Ralph very much. And I hate that that's the truth. So we got to fix that next time, dude.
There's I think I saw 10% of the people I wanted to see.
Yeah, which is unfortunate because we had like 2.5 days, and that seemed like that would make that easier. But we also had like 200 more people than we did last year, and it got crazy. So next year we're going to figure out a way to flatten that out. More Ralph time is the motto. Mm-hmm. This year it was Nerdtacular 2013. It's like family, but with nerds. Next year it'll be Nerdtacular 2014. More Ralph time. That's what I'm going to put on all the posters.
Okay.
I'm pretty excited about it. All right, Ralph, be careful. Don't crash or do anything stupid.
All right.
Bye.
Take care.
Ralph's good people.
He is good people. All right, so before we start, so now let's do our press our thumbs into the ass of this can.
All right, so we have this ass end of this can here. It is hot can self-heating soup. We're going to test it while Daryl works on birthdays today. But we have to start the process now before we can get to the question, because it has to heat up. So it says you have to, it looks like a normal, like a pop can. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know who makes this. Doesn't matter, I guess. It says hot in 3 minutes. So we're going to push both our thumbs. It says push using both thumbs, push in firmly 1 3/4 of an inch. So here we go. You ready? I'm terrified about this. Am I going to aim it away from your hardware?
No. You gotta put it on a flat surface.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, it says play the first instruction.
Okay, here we go. Is it supposed to pop?
Oh my god, this is, I don't know. How in the world are you supposed to push this thing down? 3/4 of an inch?
Okay, I got it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Is it click or something?
Yeah, it makes a click. I put it on the floor and that gave me more leverage.
All right, I'm putting it on the floor.
This is like zombie apocalypse kind of stuff. I mean, I can feel the warmth already. All right, we're going to let it sit there. We're going to let it stew, do what it does. That's so weird. Did you get it?
Yeah, it finally clicked. But my God, I mean, you've got to press like Herculean.
Yeah, I hope you're not 80.
Shake can gently for 30 seconds.
I hope you're not in a bunker and you're 85, because you're screwed. You're never getting your hot soup. You're drinking
for sure.
Cold.
Yeah. All right, I'm not feeling any heat.
I'm feeling a little heat at the base, but we'll see. It takes 3 minutes, yeah. Huh. All right, Brian, Daryl, good morning. How are you?
Yes, hello.
Oh, yeah, yes. We're gonna, it's time to do Star Trek trivia, and we do it every morning. You guys know this. You guys listen to the show. You know what's going on. If you're here for the first time, well, snuggle in for a good time. In the original series episode, Daryl, there's a episode called The Galileo 7. The Enterprise is en route to Macus 3 to deliver some
medical... Marcus 3.
It says Macus. He wrote it wrong.
Macus.
This stinks. Oh, my gosh, and it's steaming.
Oh, there you go. Well, you're supposed to shake hand until steaming stops. Oh. I've not gotten any steam. I've not gotten any heat.
Oh, my gosh, it's steaming everywhere. Did I just ruin my table?
Don't... You didn't put it down flat, did you?
Yeah.
I mean, like, the steam side down.
No, no. I put the whatchacallit side down. Wow, this is... Oh, yeah, that would eventually hurt my table. I think I may have burned my table a little. Okay, I'm shaking it. Sorry, this isn't supposed to go.
I'm still not getting any heat.
No heat or steam?
No heat, no steam, no nothing. It's definitely, I mean, you know, I can press this thing down. You know, it's going as far down as that plastic will allow. So I got a bunk can, man.
My hot new desk has a hot...
Oh, no. Does it?
Yeah, it's got a little ring. Got a little ring left. Ah, it's all right. I'll figure it out. It's a good desk, so I can probably just buff it out.
Nothing.
All right. Well, while that's happening, sorry, where were we here? Oh, medical supplies to Macus 3 or Marcus 3. On their way there, they encounter a spatial formation they would like to investigate. What kind of formation do they attempt to study? Is it a pulsar, B, a nebula, C, a quasar, or D, a black hole? Racist. Pulsar, nebula, quasar, black hole. All right, now while you think about it, has it been 3 minutes yet?
Hold on, mine's starting to heat up. So let's do birthdays and then
we're
finally getting some action.
That's really weird. Okay, Daryl, birthdays. Who's celebrating one?
We have Lee Ehrenberg. Is it a he or she? I don't even know. But whatever it is 51 today.
L-E-E or L-E-I-G-H?
I guess it was a he. It's a he. It's okay. Lee.
I like that you said. I like that you said whatever it is. I like that.
There we go. Now we're getting some steam.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It takes a little bit. That's weird. Yeah, now, who is good. He? Was he play again?
He was in all four spin-off series as various aliens.
Okay. Great. What are you doing?
And all the shaking, and it's finally getting hot. This must be what it's like to get old.
Having the menopause. All right. Well, that's great. That guy had a prolific career. He was in all shows. Yeah. That's fantastic. Good for him. All right. Well, I think this thing's hot enough to try. Don't you?
You go ahead and do yours. I haven't gotten any steam or anything yet.
Mine's hot, but not like burning hot. I feel bad. It put a ring on my desk.
It did it really? That stinks. Yeah, and you had it upside down, right?
Yeah, but I'll get it off. I think it's just like a little, I don't know, there's probably a way to get that off. My brother-in-law, Steve, will know what to do.
Okay.
Because he made this desk. Okay, so here we go. I'm going to do like the tab up top like Coke, right?
Yeah. Okay. Did you take the black thing?
Oh, no. Am I supposed to take that off?
Oh, no, I guess maybe not. No, I guess that black thing stays on.
Yeah, I think you're supposed to just make that little...
Drink through that tiny little opening, yeah.
But this thing doesn't peel back far enough to make that opening. Oh, yeah, it does. I'm sorry. It did. Okay, now it's like a little coffee hole.
Yeah, coffee hole.
Smells all right. Doesn't smell bad. All right, here we go. I'm going to test it.
Okay, all right.
Ow, it's freaking hot. Hotter than you think, because the outside's just kind of warm. But the inside, that stuff's really hot. Okay, I don't know if I like it, though. Hold on.
Really?
I think that's kind of terrible tomato flavor. I think that's really bad right there.
That's really funny. Okay, the number one ingredient is wheat flour.
Oh, my God.
Then tomato.
You need to try that and then tell me if I'm crazy.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
I mean, if I'm in a bunker and the zombies are at the door banging, I think maybe I'm still okay with this. But as a thing just to eat for no reason. Look, this is the same guy that sent us the thick and liquid stuff and all, you know, this is all the weird stuff.
No, this is not. I thought it was.
It's not?
No, he's the guy who sent the Zap potato chips and the Skullhead vodka bottle you still haven't received yet.
Oh, okay. And I haven't gotten the Zaps either. They're probably coming together.
Did your temperature indicator buttons, you know, like where it says caution, very hot and hot, like are those, see those on the side there, yeah, right above the instructions? Yeah. Are those lit?
No. Should they be?
Well, I imagine you're supposed to drink when it's green and not when it's red.
No, neither are lit.
Okay.
How do you know if you're not drinking the radioactive goo that's heating it, that it has a leak to the inside?
Well, that's if you open the other side of the can.
Daryl makes a very, I think, good point.
I think it's a good point, too.
I think it's a great point. All right, I don't know what to think about any of this. You have to try it, Brian, when we get there. Okay.
Daryl. Still haven't gotten any steam yet.
Daryl, let's get to your get back to your question, and then we'll see how Brian's doing on his steam here in a minute. Do you feel pretty good about pulsar or nebula or quasar or black hole?
Oh, I like this question because that's one of my favorite episodes.
Mm.
And that's just recently restored that Galileo 7, the full-size prop.
Oh, that's nice.
And they're shipping it off to Houston in a few days.
What will it be used there for? Just to put on display?
Yep, it'll be at NASA, so people can go and see it.
I love that they do that. That real spacemen still look to Star Trek as a, you know, as this inspiration and stuff. I think that's awesome. They keep respecting it. Yeah. I think that's cool. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is Star Trek always respected them. You know what I mean? Like Star Trek had a way of saying, it is what we're doing now that will get us there. It's been a long road to get from here to there, is what they keep saying. Anyway, sorry. So that's cool. So it's your favorite episode. So I'll bet you end up getting this. Well, not favorite. One of your favorites.
One of my favorites. And I remember that it was Murasaki 312 was the quasar that they were going to go explore.
Ooh, quasar with a Q. Interesting. Well, let's find out. It's crusty space hands. Is this the correct answer, judges?
Congratulations!
You've done it.
You're a winner!
They sent a shuttle to investigate this quasar known as the Murasaki 312. Shortly after the shuttle launches, it gets sent off course from the electrical interference from the quasar. The shuttle crew crash lands on a planet. On this planet made of styrofoam, they hear strange sounds. Spock describes these sounds as wood on leather. Here's a clip.
What do those super-sensitive ears make of that, Mr. Spock? Wood. Rubbing on some kind of leather.
They're getting ready. They'll attack.
What the hell? What? That's pretty funny. That's a weird thing to say.
Wood on leather is the name of my Judas Priest cover band.
Of course. Absolutely it is.
If you listen to that sound, that wood on leather is the last thing that sounds like.
I agree. I think Spock's had a little too much Romulan ale, if you know what I'm saying. Daryl.
It's like the sound effects guys couldn't find wood or leather. So all right.
Did something else. Yeah, that's great. Very cool.
That this thing's ready for me to
all right, so yeah, go for it, Brian. I think you're good. The light thing doesn't work. That thing's BS.
There are zero lights.
It's like those temperature stickers you'd put on the side of your fish tank when you were kids. Those never worked. See what I mean? It's not great.
Yeah. No, it's really not good.
It's not good.
It's like you're expecting a little bit more tomato flavor, and it's like Campbell's tomato soup where you accidentally put in two more cans of water.
Yeah. Yeah. That's way too many cans of water, and it's, I don't know, it kind of tastes like astronauts.
But the same amount of salt, less tomato.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, but these are my favorite things to try, so our disappointment with the flavor of the thing, let that not reflect on how awesome it is to taste weird-ass shit like this on the show.
Totally. I can't wait for the hot cocoa.
I felt a little Tourette's-y when I just said what I said just now. Do you ever do that, where you kind of comes out and it's like, oh, that's a little rougher than I meant it to be?
Mm-hmm.
Weird-ass shit? That just sounds, I mean, it's not that I wouldn't say either of those words, separate or together, but it just came out of nowhere. All right, Daryl, speaking of weird, I'm just kidding. Daryl is the Trek nerd, everyone. This has been a very odd episode of the Swim with the Trek Nerd, not because of him, but because of a can with weird chemicals in it.
Did you play the winner sound? I don't remember if you.
Oh yeah, I did. Yeah, we did. That's how tired you are. You're so tired.
Jeez, yeah, I am. Hey, too. Come on, back off a little bit.
I need some help. By the way, heating coffee.
That's exactly right. When Daryl stops hearing his winning sound,
it's very distressing.
We all worry about that. All right, Daryl, give us a quote of some sort that we can try to mangle.
Okay. Okay, here it is. Where I come from, size, shape, or color makes no difference.
This isn't like Star Trek The Next Penetration, is it? That actually exists. That's a thing.
I'm going to say Spock.
I'm going to say Waxana Troy, because she was always like getting it on with everybody.
It was Kirk.
Oh, freaking Kirk. Well, wait, he came from Iowa. There are a bunch of racist buttholes there, aren't they?
not the future. They fixed
future problem. Iowa. Sorry. They still have Nokia phones and classic cars, if we learned anything from 2009 Star Trek reboot. Right. Daryl, thanks. Bye. Take off. It's the news.
Do you like WoW, but you're not so hot on its crazy news cycle? Look no further than my YouTube channel at bit.ly/WoWShow, featuring 2 to 3 videos a day, including a daily WoW news show, add-on reviews, guides, and more, beamed to you daily from my super-secret Irish bunker. The 2,000 subscriber mark draws near, and there will be giveaways of WoW swag and Steam games. bit.ly/WoWShow. Bub would totally hold to it.
Of course he would. Emmy stuff. I'm going to do this now.
Yeah, let's do it now.
It seems celebrity poopish, but we don't care. The Emmy nominations came out. These are nominations by the TV folk. This is for TV stuff.
Right.
Which is a bigger deal than it used to be. Emmys used to be dumb because TV sucked back in the day. We now live in a time, a renaissance period, really, of some of the best TV in history.
Mm-hmm.
Better
mm-hmm.
than most movies, in my opinion. I think movies, it's switched. It really has kind of switched. Not all. I don't want to blanket everything, but when you go to a big movie release, it's usually kind of dumb and safe and popcorny and fun. But you're not walking away feeling intellectually stimulated typically. But you go home now and you got your Breaking Bads and your Downton Abbeys and your Games of the Thrones,
Mad Men,
your Homelands and your Shield. That's over now, but that was great when it was on and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So here are your nominations. Outstanding Comedy Series, The Big Bang Theory.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of tired of Big Bang Theory. It's starting to wear a little thin for me. Girls on HBO. It's okay. It's fine. It is what it is. It's harmless. Girls on HBO. Still haven't seen a single episode. I have no idea what that's about. Louie, which I love, on FX. Yay. That'd be great if that won. The Modern Family on ABC. 30 Rock, NBC. Good. It's final season. And Veep on HBO, which I've heard nothing but great things about.
Yeah.
But notice how many of those are network shows. Only three of them.
Right, only three of them, right. And one each. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. One each and nothing from Fox, but NBC, ABC, CBS.
There's nothing funny on Fox. That's what we've learned. also apparently nothing dramatically fun on Fox, because on the outstanding drama series Breaking Bad on AMC, if that doesn't win, I'll eat my freaking hat. I guarantee their final moments. This is their last chance to really win. They totally
is it
this.
Though? No, I think that they still, because they've got one more half season. I think that still puts them in contention for 2014.
Isn't there isn't there a limit though on how many episodes it is to call it to make you eligible?
A season?
I think so.
I don't know.
I'm not sure about that, but I think so. Anyway, Breaking Bad, Downton Abbey. I'm loving that Downton Abbey's all up in this. I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
It deserves it. It's really well done. Game of Thrones, Homeland, House of Cards from Netflix. Look at that. Look how it's written on there.
Exactly.
Look at these names. AMC, PBS, HBO, Showtime, Netflix, and then AMC. The company that used to send you a red envelope with your hot new copy of, I don't know,
Pauly Shore's right. son-in-law.
I think it's so great to get recognized that way. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, it totally is.
And then Mad Men on AMC, which is always in that. Outstanding.
I can't wait to start watching Homeland.
Me too, dude. That's one of those shows.
Nothing but good things.
I regret that I've not watched it yet. Plus that Firefly lady is in it. She's hot.
Oh, yeah, Marina Baccarin.
Let's see, Brian Brian Cranston for Walter White and the outstanding lead actor in a drama. I would be, again, shocked if he didn't win. Hugh Bonneville as Robert Earl, Earl of Grantham in Downton Abbey. He's real good. Damian Lewis on Homeland. Kevin Spacey on House of Cards. John Hamm on Mad Men. Jeff Daniels as Will McAvoy on The Newsroom. He's really good on there.
Yeah.
Dumber up for an Emmy.
Right. Dumber.
That's great.
Yes.
Outstanding lead actress in a drama. Vera Farmiga as Norma Bates on Bates Motel, which I've been hearing good things about.
It's good. Yeah.
A&E.
It's Twin Peaksian a little bit.
Yeah. Michelle Dockery as Lady Mary Crawley on Downton Abbey. She's awesome.
Lady Mary Crawley.
Hey, hello. Oh, yeah. Let's see. Claire Danes in Homeland. Robin Wright, House of Cards. Oh, that's is that Robin Wright Penn?
Robin Wright's character. What's that?
Is that old Robin Wright Penn from
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Princess Bride. Sean Penn's. Okay. Great.
But look at the character she plays. Claire Underwood.
Oh, that's weird.
Like. That is weird. Like, okay, we just took Blair Underwood and changed the first letter, and that's a character.
To Claire. Brilliant. Elizabeth Moss on Mad Men. She's great. Also West Wing alumni.
She plays Shmorge Clooney is her character name.
She's so good on West Wing, too. She was great on there. Connie Britton on Nashville. She's great. You know, the Friday Night Lights mom. That's who that is.
Mm-hmm.
Always good. And Kerry Washington on Scandal, which I've not heard of.
I've never even...
Did not know it was a thing. lead actors include Jason Bateman in Arrested Development on Netflix. It's crazy. Yeah. Jim Parsons. So we can sort of say that one's Fox, I guess. So far, Fox, nowhere in this business. Wow.
Right, really?
Yeah, nothing
you
here.
You scan down the list and I don't see anything Fox. Well, I mean, they're reality shows, really, aren't they? I mean...
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to see here. Yeah, there's nothing. Yeah, I'm skipping all the way through. Let me get down to miniseries. Nope.
Oh, Glee. There we go. Glee. Jane Lynch for Outstanding Supporting Actress.
You know what's weird is that category of Outstanding Miniseries. American Horror Stories in there because they did so few episodes. See, I think that's the thing that can affect where you end up in the nominations. I think that's why.
I wasn't sure if that was just because their seasons aren't connected. So basically, you have some recurring actors between seasons, but no recurring characters. Hmm. So each season is really just a miniseries as opposed to being a true season. Because they do. I mean, it's a 23-episode arc.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. All right, so I'm trying to get down to the bottom here. Because we could go on for days about all these. Let's see.
Yeah, exactly.
Outstanding reality show host. I didn't know they had that category. Ryan Seacrest, Betty White, Tom Bergeron, Heidi Klum, Kat Dealey. Oh, yeah, that dance one I never watch. And Anthony Bourdain, The Taste.
Yeah, and no Phil, what's-his-face from Amazing Race, who I think is the usual... I think he's been the winner for the last few years, hasn't he?
Yeah, and Amazing Race is still up for best reality show. Oh, here you go. First time we get to Fox, reality stuff. So you think he can dance. There you go.
Yeah, right.
That's depressing. it really is. I find that really depressing.
Nothing for The Simpsons, nothing for Family Guy.
Outstanding guest actress in a drama series, if Margot Martindale does not win as Claudia... For the Americans, there's something wrong with everyone. She was so good on
Justified. Yeah.
Amazing on there. Oh my gosh, she's good.
It was in the glass.
In the glass. and then finally, most outstanding animated program, Bob's Burgers would be an awesome win. That show is great, hilarious, and funny. I freaking love it. Have you not seen Bob's Burgers?
Oh, God, I love Bob's Burgers.
This
one's the
best. Yeah, it's really, really good.
Yeah,
Kung Fu Panda, Legends of the Awesomeness, regular show, that'd be great. Simpsons and South Park. That's
all. There it is. Simpsons and
South Park and Simpsons are always on that list. Futurama should be there. What the hell's going on?
It's interesting that the outstanding animated program isn't for a general across the board, you know, Bob's Burgers, regular show Simpsons. It's for a specific episode.
Yeah, it is weird that they do it that way. I wonder why that is. Wouldn't you think it would be like a, they don't say that for the outstanding series. They don't go Game of Thrones, The Red Wedding, you know?
Right, right.
It's just Game of Thrones.
Hmm. Right, exactly. It's more like, you know, what they do for special guest stars and things like that.
It just hit me. None of the, none of the main actor nods went to any Game of Thrones people this year.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, Daenerys Targaryen.
Oh.
And Game of Thrones, Peter Dinklage. Yeah. Yeah, we've got some in there.
They're in there. You're right.
But check this out. Outstanding supporting actor in a comedy, Bill Hader, nominated for SNL.
Excellent. Give it to him.
Yes, he needs to get it. You know, sure, Ed O'Neill is in there, Tyler Ferguson or Jesse Tyler Ferguson, Ty Burrell from Modern Family.
Sure.
Tony Hale from Veep, but Bill Hader needs that. He deserves that.
Yeah, these people are all fine. Mm-hmm. But he should win. Rolling Stone, so moving on. Rolling Stone defends its Targaryen glam cover amid its outcry.
Sarnev Targaryen.
That's it. Sarnev Targaryen. King of Dragons. Rolling Stone hit by a storm of criticism and boycotts over its cover treatment of a glam photo of Boston bombing suspect Dikachakar Kasnarev, defended itself Wednesday, saying, I don't even care anymore, saying it was within its tradition of serious and thoughtful coverage of important cultural political issues. Readers, particularly from the Boston area, slammed the magazine on its Facebook page, charging that the cover treatment turns the accused killer into a rock star. Walgreens, the CVS pharmacy chain, and Massachusetts-based Tedeschi convenience stores. Tedeschi?
Mm-hmm. Or Tedeschi?
Tedeschi?
Tedeschi? I don't know.
It sounds like Japanese. Weird.
There is a musician named Susan Tedeschi that pronounces it Tedeschi, but I don't know how they pronounce it in Boston.
Well, they're all refusing to sell it. They're boycotting it.
Cleo says Tedeschi.
Tedeschi. Tedeschi. Tedeschi.
Yep.
Okay, sure. The article by contributing editor Janet Reitman is titled "The Bomber: How a Popular, Promising Student Was Failed by His Family, Fell into Radical Islam, and Became a Monster." Yeah, you know what, Rolling Stone? When your cover looks like Jim Morrison or something, I mean that's the treatment.
So it
doesn't look. It's not him. It's all glammed up and Instagrammed out. Like it's
Look at that. Okay,
do you see? Yeah, it looks that guy could be the singer for some hot new indie band in Europe.
Right.
They've done a disservice here, I think.
Yeah, that ain't right.
Yeah, I don't like it. So, I mean, you know, vote with your money, everybody. If you just don't support what they did, if you don't like it, or if you think it's fine, then okay, well, whatever. You're a heartless bastard. Just kidding. You're not. You can think what you want. Everyone's opinions are valid here on the TMS show on the morning stream.
Yes.
Which is not about pee. All right. My headphones. Melinda Walker fights off intruders with Guitar Hero controller.
Nice.
I should have that handy, shouldn't I?
That's how Jimi Hendrix would have done it.
Yeah, he would. That's how he fought stages off.
That's right.
Isn't there a guitar that's called Something Hero?
Something Hero. That's right. Now that's a Guitar Hero. Melinda Walker at Fort Wayne, Indiana, was at home with her 5-year-old grandson Sunday when three men barged in and demanded she give them cash and the TV. I don't know why that's so funny.
Give us your money and your TV.
Yeah, you give me all your cash and then I want that TV.
You know what? I'll just sit here on the couch. You guys take the TV. That's bolted on with a friggin' swing arm that, you know, reticulating mount.
Right. I paid a lot of money for that mount.
Go ahead. Took me 2 hours to put that thing up.
Yeah. See how long it takes to tear it down. Yeah, go for it. All I thought of, Walker told the station, was you're getting away from my grandson. The intruders told her they had a gun, but Walker said she couldn't see one. A Guitar Hero video game controller was laying on the floor, and I just reached down and picked it up and told them to get the hell out of my house. Get out of my house! Get out of my house! I kept
smacking.
And I just kept smacking one of them with the guitar. Walker said she pushed the one that wouldn't shut up down the stairs. The one that wouldn't shut up down the stairs.
Right, I like that.
I think there's more here than we We're not being told everything. Anyway, eventually the trio, who she estimates were between 15 and 21, fled without anything. The woman says that one time in the past, robbers made off with a flat-screen TV, but she's not going to let that happen again. I may not be a strong woman. I may not be a well woman, but you're not going to get my stuff. You may not be
Forrest Gump say this one. I may not be a strong woman. I may not be a well woman, but I do know what love is.
Jenny.
I know what Guitar Hero controllers can do, Jenny.
Lieutenant Dan. All right.
So. Doesn't say how old she is. No. And it's funny because here's the one article where I'd like to know how old this grandmother was that's swinging a plastic guitar at people.
Yeah, she's not doing the whole like so-and-so, age 58. Grab the guitar. Exactly. Yeah, I don't know why they're not. What's going on, Huffington Post? You're not real journalism over there? What's going on? Melinda Walker. Yeah, no, nothing about her. She does look old, though. I'm looking at her right now.
Is there a picture of her?
I'm sorry. Hold on. Now they talk about another lady, Lulu Campbell. At the end, it says, in 2012, 57-year-old Lulu Campbell had just dropped off her grandson when an armed man approached her and demanded money. So it's like another story that's similar, and they tell her age. I don't know what's going on.
Huh. Interesting. So this photo, that's either a really tiny Guitar Hero controller.
Oh, look at that thing. Yeah, that's a little
one. And I'm not saying, she is overweight, sure, but she just looks enormous with that Guitar Hero controller. Like, it looks tiny.
Yeah, I think the lesson here is the Guitar Hero controllers were always too small.
Yeah, I think so. We can learn something from this.
If there's anything to take away from it, it's that. And also that Tweaked Audio sponsored it somehow. Check it out, everybody. I want to tell them about a website. The website is tweakedaudio.com. Tweaked, like, you've had your hair tweaked or something. It's like that. TWEAKED. Go over there.
Tweaked.
Now,
tweaked.
You're like, sure, Scott, we like good earbuds. We like good sound in our heads. We like lifetime warranties. All those things are fine. What about saving us a little money?
But can't we use it to fend off criminals?
Yeah, can we wrap it around the neck of an intruder and say, I may not be a well woman.
Get off my plane.
Well women. They sound like a weird race of women that live in the well. Call up to you.
That's a heart movie just waiting to happen.
Go to tweakedaudio.com. That's what the answer is. Go to tweakedaudio.com and use the code STREAM at checkout for 33% off your next set of fantastic earbuds. You can do it today. Do it often. Get a couple of pairs. Buy them for gifts. They're the perfect gift for that birthday or upcoming Christmas gift. You just never know when the chance might present itself. That's tweakedaudio.com. 33% off. Use the code STREAM.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by...
We're tackling the enormous problem that is drunk driving by launching a unique product, SoberSmart, a tiny rechargeable breathalyzer that connects wirelessly to your smartphone and takes care of you or your children by being able to send a taxi to their exact location and even pay for their cab's fare directly from your smartphone when you use SoberSmart. Support us through our website at SoberSmart.com or directly on RocketHub.com. Thank you so much for your support, and let's together bring our children back home safely.
I agree. April is on the line. April, what's up? April? Hello, April.
Do you need us to send a taxi cab to your location?
Listen, April, I know you're in Boston, okay? I assume she was going to say something about that Boston cover thing, but maybe not.
I think so, yeah.
But she ain't. I think she can hear us, but we can't hear her. So she got a little microphone problem. All right, try us again. We love April.
Oh, that's so bad. Why did I take another drink?
Yeah, what are you doing? What are you doing with that? Don't do that.
It's like it's...
That's terrible.
It really is, yeah.
It's still warm, though.
It's still warm, but...
It's psychochemical.
It's so salty. It's like...
It's like licking the bottom of a horse's butt. The underbit. The underbit of a horse. All right. Where were we? Oh, yeah. Celebrity Poop. Oh, wait. Before that, Keith from Maine. Yeah. Keith, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, Dan. How are you?
Oh, pretty good.
Good. When you call, it weirds me out. It feels like it's 2011 all up in here. It's weird. Anyway, what's going on?
All right. I've got two things to say. First off, hearkening back to the beginning of the show, the Dust Bowl. Were you aware that while the Dust Bowl was going on, You also had the Great Depression and the World War II, I believe.
Well, two didn't kick in till after, because we're still in the 30s when this is going on. But World War One had already happened. So there was like there were other weird conflicts, and there was like build up around the world. But this thing was like 31 to 30, 35 is 36 or something. Or no, it's more than that. It's whatever it is. Yeah. But it was like in between, like the entirety of the Depression, which was this big crash and then this long slog before World War II really put us back on the sort of the industrial money making map, because that money did make that war made us a lot of money. It wasn't really until then that there was any relief, really, financially anyway. But like the actual like natural disaster part of it, like 10 years of this, people would come home from a trip and their house, if they left a window open, would be full of 4 foot to 5 foot of dirt and sand. Like just banana time. Oh, my gosh, the weirdest thing. Anyway, sorry. Continue.
Second thing I have to say is that Indie Love is my Indian jungle love cover band.
Of course it is. Of course it is. And a sweet wrestling move, by the way. Take it easy, kid. We'll see you later. Sci-Fi announced a Sharknado sequel. Our long national nightmare is over.
Oh, good. Thank goodness.
I'm sorry. It's just starting.
Think they can get Ian Ziering and Tara Reid back for this one? Will their schedules allow?
They're so busy, and they're asking so much money, and they are they're such icons in Hollywood. I don't know how they'd even have time, Ryan. They're so huge. So huge.
Did you actually watch any of this? I didn't see any of it.
I haven't seen it. I was too irritated by the obvious
the forced Twitter,
camp. Yeah, it's just forced camp, dude. I don't want to be forced that. I want to just find it naturally. Anyway, Sharknado will be seeing sharks invade New York City as it's slated to air on the cable network in 2014. Oh, that soon. How shocking. Sharknado 2, a working title, will be produced by the Asylum.
We'd like to go away from the Sharknado brand for this one.
Yeah. Let's just call it
the Shark Knight.
Shark Knight. Ooh, Shark Knight sounds all right. let's see. The company behind last week's TV movie that created a social media frenzy despite its relatively modest ratings. Interesting. Isn't that kind of how this goes? Social media can kind of suck it a little bit. Doesn't really work the way people think. April, are you back? April?
Oh, heard a slight noise.
Hello. Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
There she is.
Oh my gosh. Wow. You are in the worst connection I've ever heard in my life. Hello?
It's going to extend.
And she's gone. Oh, man. I love April. She must have bad Wi-Fi or something. What's going on? Did you hear that? Was it Everett?
Yes. Oh, yeah. It was extended.
There's an episode of Voyager where everyone's voice sounds like that because they're stuck in a time vortex.
Oh, really?
Everyone gets slowed down. Please report to the bridge.
Do they just do that with their tongue the whole time?
Do that again.
Please report to my relative.
The name Chakotay is oddly perfect for that. Yeah. Nice job. Anyway, so watch for that coming soon. Robert Downey Jr. is Hollywood's highest paid actor.
Wow.
I made a joke at the top of the show. He's the highest paid cocaine recovering addict, but he kind of is. Yeah, he is that. And it's pretty amazing, actually. How rare is this for somebody to go far down that addiction path as he did? And to pull himself up this high again is just crazy to me. Yeah. It's a testament to his talent, but just crazy. Robert Downey Jr., once best known for his orange jail jumpsuit, is now Hollywood's number one hit machine, the highest paid actor in town, according to Forbes magazine. Or as they wrote it in this article and made a typo, to Forbes magazines.
To Forbes magazine.
Annual list of entertainers with BAFO bank accounts. Downey tops the list.
So excited to put the word BAFO in there. They decided not to put space bars in the first.
No doubt. He tops the list with an estimated $75 million in earnings with Channing Tatum at number two. What? Channing Tatum's number two. That's crazy.
Well, who else these days? I mean, you look at.
Yeah, but what's his high profile? I mean, I guess that Mike. Mike's strip off or whatever the hell it was called. What was it called?
Magic. You mean Tragic Trike?
Tragic Trike. That one. Tragic Trike M. That one.
Tragic Trike M. Yes. But he did the. Wasn't he in the White House Down? Or was he Olympus Has Fallen?
Olympus Has Fallen. No. White
House Down.
Down is him. Ah, oh, man. Yeah. It's Deep Impact Armageddon all over again. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. The other one was had the 300 guy, Gerard Butler.
Hugh Jackman at number three. That's fine. I'm cool with that. And the rest of the list had a lot of agents, producers, and managers and other people who were making a bunch of money. Mm-hmm. That's it. Let's take a break. We got Wendy coming up for Therapy Thursday. I got a big one in the queue to talk about when we come back. Before that, though, a bit of a tune of some sort. You got something
for
us?
Yes. I do. This one's going out to Forrest Silva. Says hello, Sasquatch and Basilisk. Mm. I hope he's going by the Marvel characters. I love that. Yeah. I just recently graduated high school and be turning 19 on July 19th. Hey, happy golden birthday tomorrow.
Yeah.
It would be rad if you could play a cover of Tom Petty's song, Mary Jane's Last Dance, representing my last year of being a teenager. If you could, not representing, you know, any pot smoking or anything like that, right? Mm-hmm. That's what... If you could play this song on the 18th or the 22nd, it would be much appreciated. By the way, Scott, North Idaho is gorgeous, especially Moscow and Genesee.
Agreed. It's the lower bit that sucks. But that, yeah. The northern part of that
Coeur d'Alene. Coeur d'Alene is just gorgeous.
Yeah, really pretty.
Okay, so going out to Forrest Silva, it is a cover of Tom Petty's Last Dance with Mary Jane. This one performed by T. Nathan Roan. It's a nice acoustic version of this that he put on his 2005 album Song Stealer. I like this. And there's something very interesting about T. Nathan Roan's voice that I kind of like. Hmm. Here it is, acoustic version of Mary Jane's Last Dance.
All right. We'll see you guys in a minute with Wendy.
Mama never was around, but she grew up tall and she grew up right with them Indiana boys on an Indiana night. Now she moved down here at the age of 18. She blew the boys away, it was more than they'd seen. I was introduced and we both started grooving. She said, I dig it, baby, but I gotta keep moving. One more time to kill the flame. I feel summer creeping in. I'm tired of this town again. Well, I don't know, but I've been told. Never slow down, you never grow old. Tired of screwing up, tired of going down. Tired of myself, I'm tired of this town. Oh my mind, oh hell yeah. Honey, put on that party dress. Buy me a drink, sing me a song. Take me as I come, cause I can't stay long. Last dance of Mary Jane. One more time to kill the flames. I feel summer creeping in and I'm tired of this town again. Thank you.
Camay's lather is so gentle and creamy. Change to regular care. Use Camay, and your first cake will bring a clearer, fresher complexion. You'll see your skin come out of the shadows into the light of new loveliness.
Ladies, you'll adore to use the soap that beautiful women choose, a lovelier skin with Camay.
To discriminate,
you fat slob. Let's see if you've got any guts. This is the Morning Stream.
Sound like Scott Fletcher got overdubbed there a little bit. Just a little bit. I just love this.
To discriminate.
Oh my gosh. It makes me laugh. Welcome back, everybody. It is time for us to call Wendy, who is waiting patiently for us to get with her and get this on.
Let's get it on. Let's
get it on, man. Get it
and
on.
This segment is brought to you.
Oh, yeah. Who's it brought to us by?
It's by brought to you by Richard Knight, graduate student at the New School for Social Research. Social Research, who would like to thank Wendy for her selfless contribution to the mental health of the Frog Pants community. If I'm half the therapist one day that you are now, I will be very happy indeed. Also, I shook Scott's hand at BlizzCon 2011. He does not suffer from space crusty hand disease.
I do not, for sure. Wendy, that was a very nice message from a listener who really likes the quality work you're doing here on Thursdays.
All I heard was crusty space hand.
I know, it's because we started.
We started
reading it before you got here. That's why. I'll send that to you separate. You can see what they said.
Okay.
It was very nice. So it's Wendy Dunford, my sister. Used to be Johnson, now Dunford. That's how it works. It's what we do. We take on the names of our husbands.
It's like some crazy tradition right there, Scott.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
Aren't there there are cultures who don't do that? Aren't there somewhere?
Yeah.
Who would that be? Who's not doing
that? Well, there's lots of people who will like hyphenate a name, or I know people who've taken the wife's last name.
Did you ever
sometimes?
Yeah.
Depends on how lame your name is, right?
Right.
Exactly.
How boring Johnson is compared to Dunford. I understand completely. Wendy, it's great to have you back. She was last seen on stage at Nerdtacular 2013 for our TMS thingamajigger. And you seemed to enjoy yourself. That was a fun time.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And thanks, everybody, for walking up, saying hi, and all that stuff. And then last week, you were on some horrible trail of tears, and now you're back.
I'm back.
And it's time to tackle a big, hard question. That's what we do on Thursdays. We've done it since day one. We take questions from you guys. Wendy answers them. She's an actual therapist. She wants to help. And so here we are to help. All right. So here's today's big question. This comes to us from a listener named Anonymous. That's right. Dear Wendy.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, there are, right?
Sends in a lot of emails, this person.
Yeah, really.
Keep coming. They just keep flowing. Dear Wendy, I can't think of a way to start my email, so I'm just going to go right into it. Bring a problem I have, like feeling depressed. My friends, they look at me and talk to me like I'm weak for even having a problem and not manning up. I'm very short for a man and pretty overweight, and I have an unusually feminine voice that even when I hear it doesn't sound like it's coming from me. Needless to say, I'm bullied by my own friends and I'm not physically capable of standing up to them. I don't have other groups of friends. But these people make me feel terrible, weak, and inferior, and they don't take me seriously because of my physical qualities. It wasn't always like this. They used to be around the same height and me and cool. I think he meant as me. But they've all gotten much taller and subsequently much thinner. That is kind of how that works. I know this is a problem because they all started getting taller and thinner, and that's when this started. How do I handle a situation like that? I'm terrible at making friends, and the small group is pretty much since about 10th grade. Thanks, Anonymous. So, does this not boil down to the age-old question of self-image what people around you or the people you have around you do to your self-image or do to help contribute to your sense of a bad self-image? Because I know lots of short and stocky folk who are totally fun and bubbly and great and everyone loves them and wants to be around them all the time. And usually they kind of have an infectious personality and they're just, you know, they're kind of cool to be around. And I think part of that is they're not all that worked up about how they look or sound or feel or may appear to somebody else. How do you deal? What do you tell people when they're trying to deal with sort of the extreme on the other side? They are very cognizant of their weight, of their voice, of their stature or whatever.
Well, you're making an assumption that all the people who are short and stout that you know are fine with it.
Right. Oh, I knew that as I was saying it.
I know. So, yeah. As I'm saying this.
Yeah.
Well, in the sense that everyone has a varying degree of shellac they put on. Mm-hmm. That's let me smile. Let me act like I'm fine. I'm the butt of jokes amongst these friends. I mean, everyone has the friend where they would sort of tease or pull, you know, it was like, it's the group scapegoat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that person might seem fine with it all and yet probably hates it. But like this guy feels, it sounds like he feels like that's his role and his only option is to be treated mm-hmm. badly. And so they don't take him seriously when he shares anything real.
Right.
Because in some senses, they haven't treated him as if he is real.
Do you think it's possible that their treatment of him is based somewhat on them thinking that he's just cool and rolling with it? Like,
totally.
We don't have this information with us here, but it kind of goes to what you said before, which is sometimes on the outside, your friend that you can go, hey, what's going on, Tubby, or whatever. And you've always mm-hmm. said that, and they've always just laughed it off or smiled or giggled or whatever. Maybe that's actually eating them up inside and they just don't know what to say or how to say stop or something like
right,
that.
Right. Right. Yeah. And you remember Mr. Tiny, the chemistry teacher in Brighton?
I do remember Mr. Tiny.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I'll tell you what Mr. Tiny did, who was, by the way, Tiny.
Yeah.
He.
It was real name, too.
His real name. And he.
Unfortunate real name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ripped your head off if you giggled when he said his name yeah. or you made any reference to him being tiny or anything.
Yeah.
Which did one thing, made you scared of him a little.
Terrified. You didn't even have to have a clash yet. You just hear about it.
Well, yeah, you know, he's going to get, but what he did was teach everyone what was okay and what was not okay when it came to him and how you messed with his name. Right.
Right.
And so when you're describing maybe this guy is, you know, letting them behave this way. I mean, I can guarantee he's letting them behave this way or they wouldn't continue.
Right.
But it sounds like he's connected being accepted with being treated however they want to treat him.
Mm.
That those two are so tied that him telling them, you know what, it's not cool to treat me this way, means rejection or it means, you know, they won't want to be with him when – that's his guess or his assumption. And this right. sounds like they've been friends for a long time. So I'm guessing this dynamic is really old.
Well, it could be. Or when he says it's been like this since the 10th grade, maybe that means that they're only in the 12th grade. You know what I'm saying? Like this could be, but in a teenage years, that's like a lifetime.
That's like 20 years. Yeah.
That's huge. So I guess it probably doesn't matter. Like if it's that or not, that it feels like that.
Yeah, it feels like that. It would be better if that's what it was because it's a little less entrenched.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of pictured him like this started in high school and then they've remained friends through the years and they still mess with him.
Right.
But you're right. Like the feeling of there's no one else. These are my only friends. That's a pretty high school thought because your access to people is pretty limited. New people, you know, you're sort of confined to the people you go to class with and online friends or whatever, right? So here's where I think this applies to everybody because unfortunately this dynamic or versions of this tend not to change in your adulthood. They get a little better, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're less around that one obnoxious kid who always teased you or made fun of you or whatever.
You can change your commute. The old commute was you're on the school bus. When you're an adult, you can drive. You can go on a different bus. You can... Right. Ask your boss to put you in a different desk. Like you have options that I think kids at least don't feel like yeah. they have options because it's still lunchtime and it's still the same cafeteria and it's still the same gym class and you can't get out of right. shop. And
exactly. You're behind this guy every, you know, every class yeah. because his last name is one letter one letter above yours, so you're stuck with them.
Right. I feel like this is the basis for John Hughes films is what we're talking about here.
Exactly. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, so
yeah.
So take that feeling, and here's where this my response to this email is going to be slightly different than maybe the you should do this and this and this, because it goes wherever you go, especially if you're confined in like a classroom. Mm-hmm. But the way it impacts you and how you feel about yourself, you take that with you wherever else you go. So the next, so you know, you graduate, you move on, you get a job. Well, now your boss strangely smells like that kid who sat in front of you all those years. But now he has authority to fire you. And so what do? You do the patterns of survival that you've always done. Mm-hmm. And here's where most of us, you know, and I tell people this a lot, the strategies you develop as a kid to survive are effective. They keep you alive. They keep you sane long enough. And then you get out into the world, and those strategies can be really damaging because they don't apply to the situation anymore. But while you're using the strategies, you weren't developing others.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So then you get out into the workforce, and here is your boss who's just like that jerk at school, and it puts you right back in that place of like, okay, well, maybe I got to be the funny guy, or I got to be, you know, and people probably can relate to this. You fall right into a role if it gets triggered because of the surroundings, even though in theory you should be past this, right?
Mm-hmm.
This happens a lot in families. When families are off doing their normal life, functional, then they get back together for a fan reunion and everyone gets in pecking order and the same kind of weird stuff happens and you're like, what?
Yeah.
I'm 40. Why am I doing this? Right?
Yeah. Plus it's kind of it's weird because when you get into those situations, it's not as frustrating to me that other people, like in my case, I'm expected when I'm in old peer groups and things to be the funny guy.
Yeah.
So if I'm not feeling particularly funny, I don't like the feeling. I don't like being thrust into it.
You're expected to perform.
Yeah, kind of. I don't like that at all. So I'll get with this group and the expectations are there. But here's what frustrates me more. Not that their expectations are that, but that I slip into the role and there's two of me there now. And one of them is trying to be funny and satisfy that role. And the other one's saying, you don't have to do this. Why are you doing this? Yet I'm doing it anyway. Like I'm always of two minds on that. And and you're right about the family thing. Like that always seems to kick in. All those labels mom gave us growing up, they all kick in when we're all, you know, when there's a big thing going on. And you feel it. I don't think it's nearly as bad at this stage of our lives as it used to be, but I still feel it. I'll still walk in the room and go, okay, Misha's the one that's expected to do this, and Wendy's the one expected to do that, and Mark's going to do this, and Scott is going to do that, and we're all going to do the thing that we always did, and a little piece of me dies. You know, like
right.
I hate it, but anyway,
but here's where your two mind situation is the only responsibility you have.
Right.
And you continue to give it up to the pressure of I'm supposed to be something. And this is where when you're younger, this is so much harder to do. When you're older, obviously it's still hard, but we can whine about it and we can feel like victims. And this guy in particular is like, I'm a victim of my friendship situation rather than I am a key. I am the cornerstone to this dynamic existing. Because if you went into your double-minded situation and went, I'm going to listen to that voice that says, don't do this, which means you have to deal with the fact that maybe people aren't going to like you. Or the situation might be awkward, mm-hmm. but that it's not your job to fix it. Because I know you and that you feel like it's your job to make sure everyone's having a good time.
It is is a problem for me. Yep. It is.
Right.
You do this too, though.
I do it, but I don't. But I also don't. If I don't feel like it, I don't do it.
That's true. But if you and I are at a restaurant, we always bring up this example when we're together. If we're at a restaurant and we're with people who are irritated with the staff, you and I will go out of our way to diffuse that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I'll pay a triple tip.
Yeah. I'll pay high tips to people who sucked. And I'll do it because I don't know where we got this, but in my head, I'm going, well, I don't know what's going on with this person. It could be having the worst day of their life. Their girlfriend left him. He's having a terrible time, or he got fired tonight and he has to finish out his shift. Or I don't know what his deal is. So because I don't know, I feel like I should err on the side of I'll do all I can, and then it's kind of up to him to do whatever his thing is. So, but it, so to bring it back to this person, to Anonymous, is any of that at play here? Is there any of them trying to just sort of make everybody else happy at the expense of their own enjoyment or satisfaction or whatever? Like he's put these people above his own feelings and needs.
Yeah, I for sure. I mean, isn't that what the clown is? Yeah, right, the clown's job is. I mean, think of like a real clown going to a children's party. Seriously, you'd have to take like some shrooms beforehand because it would suck, right? And you gotta be on, and you gotta do the thing. And I think there's not a performer in the world who can't relate to this. Mm-hmm. And yet here is someone unpaid doing it, and I think that's true for all of us to some extent. Maybe we're not all performers or all trying to make everyone happy, but we tend to play the role that has been assigned to us and do it regardless. And I think, you know, when you're a teenager, let's assume this guy's a teenager. When you're a teenager, you're developing whatever those roles are. They're thrust upon you. You're kind of going with it. You're taking in feedback from others. And when you feel different, ugly, short, fat, you know, whatever that fill in the blank is that you feel, and especially that you just feel different, when your peers laugh with you / at you, your contribution feels like something. Mm. And you feel a little needed or wanted or that it matters. So you are highly motivated to provide that. And so when you're real and you have your, you know, non-clown face on, you know, you're in theory multifaceted human being, but certain people will only see you as one faceted, which is the waitress thing. So I look at a waitress and I think, oh my gosh, I'd be so bad at this job. I can't even tell you. I'd spill on everyone. Like it would be a nightmare.
Yeah.
So I put myself in her shoes and think she's doing a fantastic job because it's significantly better than I would do. And so I'm going to be nice to her because I would love if someone was nice to me. So I put myself in her shoes. You're empathizing with the waiter. And there are others who just see that person as an object or a means to an end.
Yeah.
For and whatever I don't reason, get you and I really do that in restaurants.
But, I can understand that, by the way. When if you see, and we both know people who do this, and I won't mention names, but they really are just a layer between you and the food you want, and you don't see them as anything more than that layer. Like they're not people with lives and extended, you know, connections and relationships or any of that. They are literally just this one thing, this object. It's weird. It's like the objectification of server help, mm-hmm. where it's not like it's not entirely unlike, you know, objectification of women, although obviously there are just extremes to what I'm saying. But it's that thing of where you've reduced them to this one thing and that's all you see them as or good for. I don't understand that. Like that to me is the most foreign way of approaching anything. And it's really hard for me to empathize with that. It's very hard for me to see through those eyes. I don't get it.
Right. Well, and then you have to ask yourself, okay, not to say everyone in the world is selfish, but what is your end goal? I think for you and I, it's for comfortability in the situation.
Right.
And so it isn't that we're purely, what is the word? There's a word.
Flatulent.
Fantastic. We're fairly fantastic. I can't think of the word. But that there is a benefit to us when that awkward situation, when we're there with someone who is grumpy and like, give me my damn food. And, you know, and you really are like, oh, you're like the craziest human being. Why can't you be nice? Mm-hmm. It's because we don't like the contention or the feeling. So that's our selfish.
Oh,
motive.
I see what you're saying. We're not being like altruistic about
it. That's
that the word. Okay. Right. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Scott came up with the big word. I want everyone to know.
Scott does words.
And then in the case of that person who just sees that person as an object, their goal is, I want my food. I want it warm. I deserve this service. How do you have a job? I'm not coming back here. I mean, they have all sorts of other layers. That doesn't mean they're a dirtbag. It just means their motives are different.
Mm-hmm.
And they have expectations that are different, and they don't care if it's awkward. That doesn't bother them one ounce, right?
Right.
So take this kid or adult, whatever you are, Anonymous, and ask yourself, what is your motive? And it seems pretty obvious to me that it's acceptance.
Yeah.
So then here's the deeper level of this that I'd like to take it to is if you're, and this is the norm in high school, I get this, you figure out your value based on the acceptance of others. Mm-hmm. You are good enough. You look good enough. You are, you know, whatever it might be, because they've told you in so many ways with their feedback that you're okay.
Yeah.
So
I think that's entirely true.
And what he's discovering is how superficial that feedback is. When he says, I'm depressed or I'm having a hard time, and they just laugh at him, then, sorry to sound like your mom, dude, but those aren't your real friends.
You need new friends, yeah.
Yeah, you need friends. But that's only going to start with, I'm loving this restaurant concept. That's only going to start with you being able to tolerate the uncomfortability, or for you to check what your motives are and then practice doing it a little differently. I use the word practice a lot with people because I think so often they think, oh, either do it or I don't, you know,
right.
Rather
and
than
it's going to be instantaneous.
Exactly. And then frustrated that it's not working. But what practice would be is like one baby step. Find one of those friends, get them alone, and ask, because I guarantee they have their own exact issue. There is a reason they're picking on you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of their own insecurity. And you are playing the role of the scapegoat, or the role of the, you know, you're the bumbling idiot so that I don't have to face that I feel like an idiot.
Right. Yeah. So, he's the escape valve. He's the afterburner, right? Right.
So one kid, get him alone and have a real conversation with him and see what happens. So that's what I mean by practice. Just baby steps here or there. And then I guarantee there are 1,000 kids at your school that feel just like you. So be nice to one of them. Mm-hmm. Try build different relationships in different areas and try to just connect with people. That's another way to practice, because what happens is you start to feel so limited. Like, all right, there's only these 5 guys and no one else exists. So I will continue to play the role. And our families, we don't get new families.
Right.
So that's why it's so easy for us to go back into those situations, because it's not like, hey, there's a new sister in the family. Cool. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That turnover is slow.
Very slow. So create your own turnover, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to throw this last thing in there. This is a little random, but if I have a client in Salt Lake who listens to this show.
Oh, great.
And he listens and his wife comes in and she always says, I always say, because I see her on Fridays and I'm like, so did you hear the show or whatever? And she'll talk about the show and she'll say, so yeah, pretty much what it comes down to is you just need to talk more. Like, that's my advice about everything, is just talk more.
Drill it down to the bare essence. Yeah.
Communicate more, right? So anyway, that is really often what I say.
Well, maybe that's, but okay, great. But perhaps that's, let's say it is the essence of all these solutions, that if you do, there's nuance, but let's say you boil it down to its most important point and it's always listen more.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then people should listen more.
Right. You should try it.
The people who aren't writing in and having problems should take that advice, is what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Like, because maybe that is a big part of things. But, you know, I can tell this guy this. So this is one, just from personal experience. I had somebody who I work with online a little bit here and there on different stuff, who I was referring to in a very jokingly manner, never meant to offend, as a certain name that wouldn't offend almost anybody I know. If I said it now, it wouldn't offend anybody, but I know this person listens and I want to call him out or make it dumb. But I said these things completely without any ire, without any kind of mean bone in my body. And this person pulled me aside via email and just said, and did this thing you're asking this person to do, and said, hey, just so you know, that really kind of hits hard because of these circumstances that I went through these many years ago. That very, and even though I know it's absolutely a joke and there's no meanness meant, it was kind of like if I called somebody a Nazi today, like everyone went, that lady at Walmart is such a Nazi.
Yeah.
That means nothing to her or me or most people my age, because we have no real connection to what Nazis really did to people in the 40s. And right. So if you say that in front of somebody who was stuck in a concentration camp and you start throwing the word Nazi around, that means something very different to them and can be very hurtful. So it was that kind of deal.
I really hate when you call me jury, because I've been in a lot of court cases and juries are very offensive to me.
Call me Justin. But yeah, if I
actually get that now, that's funny.
Yeah, you should get it.
Just saying.
Even though, so I did this, and this person pulled me aside and told me this, and it was a very personal thing for them. I could tell it was very hard for them to tell me this.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I had no freaking idea. And I would never intentionally do anything to hurt this person or their feelings. And so I'm here to tell you that adult, young, whatever, whenever, 99% of the time that you will find sympathetic ear to this problem from the people who have been dishing it out. They don't necessarily know that they're hurting you like this. That's all.
Yeah.
And they'll stop.
And if you're a teenager, they're really doing it to just compensate for their own insecurities.
Right. And that gets better as time goes on. And if he's truly out of high school by now and they've been together for a while, I feel like, you know, there's probably some maturity that's settled in there, hopefully, and they can do something about it.
Well, and spread your circle like that. That's why it's so great. High school ends. I mean, the people from high school, I'm in charge of my 20-year reunion next year. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You're in charge? Why'd you do that? Why'd you want to put that on yourself? I'm in charge.
And everyone says the same thing. Everyone says the exact same thing when I run into them randomly in the grocery store. They'll say, well, all the people I want to keep in touch with, I do.
Mm.
And that is the point. There's only a few you really care about 20 years later. And the rest might be fun for a night.
Yeah.
But this dynamic works in every reunion, right? It's the loud cheerleader freak show standing up in the front with a mic talking about herself, awkward people in the corner. It's just a microcosm for, you know, like it thrusts everyone back into that.
Yeah. Same. They all get back into their roles. You're lucky. You have these great girlfriends that you went to high school with and still stay in touch with and do these trips with and stuff. That's kind of rad and something I've always, kind of admired. And for good or for ill, or maybe all my own fault, I don't know. But I just don't have like old high school buddies. I just don't have them anymore. Right. They aren't around.
Well, and I would say that's normal. Mm. I think we're really weird. Like I think it's pretty uncommon. I think part of it is, I was thinking this as we were talking, we equally teased each other. So no one was ever the butt or the scapegoat. We all were.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, anyway, bad story. I'm not gonna tell you. Anyway, so okay, but my point earlier when I said I always on the show I always tell people just to talk more, or in therapy it's like just talk more, you know, get more conversation going, get more better communication, more better. Anyway, the other thing I do that was leading to this point is I tend to read a book and then I'm like, everyone needs to read this. Mm-hmm. It's like I have the attention span of whatever I am reading at the time.
Mm. You really should get on Twitter, kind of, by the way. You'd be a perfect Twitter user. Anyway.
Right. That happens a lot. Required.
Yeah, I do it too. It's like, I just had the best candy bar of my life. And you just have to tell everybody. It's like that. Anyway.
Well, this is then here's what happens is while I'm listening to something, I'm thinking of all the people it applies to. And then I tell everybody and then they're like, wow. And sometimes they're like, what? That has nothing to do with what I'm going through. And I'm like, I know, but it's what I'm listening to right now. Mm. So anyway, by the way, The War of Art, which we talked about a long time ago.
Yeah.
And people have really liked. If you're new, go check it out and read it. It's awesome.
I gave it
to a client who works at a big old firm downtown. Mm-hmm. I won't name.
Okay.
He read it. He's ready to start his own business. He passed it around the office. Everyone in his office wants to quit.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. I was like, really? Don't tell them I gave you that book.
You've caused a corporate revolt. My gosh.
I know. Isn't that funny? Yeah. It kind of makes me smile. Okay. But here's the book.
Okay.
So you've heard of Marianne Williamson before, right?
Sure. You've talked about her.
I have?
I think so. On the show, haven't you? That name's familiar on this show for me for some reason.
Anyway, she is like, what is she? How would you describe her?
An alien. Kind of like
a spiritual kind of guru, change agent, write about stuff lady. I don't know. Author? Right. I don't even call these people. Anyway, so I checked out her book. It's called The Gift of Change. CD and have been listening to it. And it's really interesting. If you're not a fan of God, you might not want to listen to it.
If you're not a God fan. Like,
yeah, she kind of drops his name a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah. If you're cool with that, it's really interesting. She takes sort of the global distress everyone kind of feels, and the harried pace, and the, you know, it's such an awful place, and that dynamic, and then what does that look like? How does that impact your life? And then how does change actually occur? Mm. She has some really good stuff in there. And so I'm listening to this, I'm thinking about Anonymous and this idea that people aren't treating him well, and thinking it's his job to get people to treat him well. And I know that sounds strange, because there are victims. Yes, I'm not denying that, but there are scenarios where we play a role in our own maltreatment that we can change, but it takes digging pretty deep to see that we're doing it, first of all, and then shift what we're doing so that it stops, or that right. better things open up for us. And so this, what's interesting about this book is it's a mood changer. So she's reading it. I don't know what it's like to actually read the words.
Yeah.
So maybe it doesn't work the same, but I'm listening to her voice, which would be weird to read your own book, by the way, but
I agree.
I'm hearing her, and I was in a super grumpy mood. I have been single momming it for 4 days and ready to kill everyone around me.
Yeah.
Just now, Adam came in and he poked his head, and I about punched him. I haven't seen him in 4 days. I'm like, you're here. Go do something. Clean something. Anyway,
has he been out of town? He's been out of the state or something. All right.
In California.
That's right.
Ever. Yeah. So I'm grumpy. I get in the car. I turn this on. And within 2 minutes, I feel like hope for humanity. I feel like, okay, there's something real I can do. Mm-hmm. I just felt shifting happening. So my advice, like I always tell people to talk more. Everyone talk more. The other thing is find something. It doesn't have to be this book. This just happened to work this week for me. But find something that helps you internally shift. Mm. So it might be serve somebody, go feed soup to somebody under a viaduct this right. week. Or some major, and it can be listen to a great book. It could be practicing in some little way, just this extension of you. Because what's happened is when you're in that social setting, it's very, very insular. It's they're teasing me and I feel crappy, but no one's listening to me, and you're stuck. So when you feel stuck, it doesn't matter what scenario you feel stuck in, because I'm sure everyone feels stuck somewhere. You got to stick something in there that's different. It's got to be, you know, it doesn't have to be huge, but something that's going to be effective. For me, it was
that book, whatever. Yeah. Whatever that thing is. And I'm a big proponent of pick yourself up and take hold of your own destiny, but ask for help to do it.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's important. I think that's an important distinction. This isn't one of those libertarian, hey, it's all up to you now. Just get the hell up and do it. You know, that's one way of thinking, but I think it's important to temper that with look for the right things, people, influences, books in this case, whatever, to help you do it. Don't just suck it up. Like they say, suck it up with some help.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, when you said more better earlier, mm-hmm. I thought of this from Miss Utah in the Miss America pageant, which happened not long ago. Here you go, right here.
Create education better.
There you go. Create education better. Fantastic.
Create education better.
Was that recent?
Yeah, yeah. Do you not remember that? That was a big deal locally. Year. She got up and she did that real bad. Somebody asked her about, it was a bad question to begin with, but she then just.
It was a good question. Like, why do you think women are underpaid still compared to men in the workplace?
That's sort of what she asked. Kind of like that's the well, problem. The okay. question that was, wasn't. I don't want to defend her because she was. The answer was horrific. Yeah. So, but it just was. Well, you know what else? I think the Miss America pageant is crap. So I'm kind of have the whole thing's right. broken on three levels for me.
Wait a minute. Is Miss Utah like long blonde hair?
No, tall, long but dark hair, brunette.
Brunette.
This time.
This was recent.
This is this year. Yeah, like a couple weeks ago.
Okay, so the one from last year. Let me just tell you this. She came to Allie's school.
Yeah.
Allie got some award and she came to speak and I was ready to like, no, thank you. Do not want to hear 1 ounce of anything coming out of this girl's mouth.
Yeah.
Turns out she's like a chemist going to medical school, super genius.
Yeah.
And did these cool science experiments, and I was like,
wrong girl.
Definitely,
yeah, really? Definitely not this. Definitely not this year's.
Oh, that's too bad. Especially when they're back to back.
Yeah, you know, she's real. I mean, apparently, and afterwards, I heard a kind of candid interview with her about her stage question thing and how embarrassed she was. And she's not a total ditz. She was terrified. She was on stage. She was having stage fright. She couldn't think straight. She barely heard the question, like all these things. And she was very articulate and fine, but I just think that pageant itself is freaking it's old. It's done. We should be done with it.
Why are they still happening?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Right. And now they play Who Wants to Be a Millionaire music behind it the entire time.
No!
You can kind of hear it behind that little...
Create education better.
Hear that? You hear the little drum beats and stuff? Yeah. It's like... dum, 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 or like... what was that old show at Robert Stack? What's that called?
Oh,
they reenact crimes, unsolved mysteries. That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah.
It's like the unsolved mysteries of Miss America. Anyway.
So you know how I don't ever like know what's happening, no news. Right. I mean, I listen to political news and that's about it. And my neighbor comes over. Honestly, it's like it's 1901 and I only get news from neighbors. She comes over and was like, did you hear about the compost pile? And I'm like, oh my gosh, what? That's an awesome start to... Yeah. Did you hear? And apparently a lightning bolt hit the compost pile out of the landfill and just whoosh.
Oh, yeah, that stuff can be very flammable.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, that's all the news I need.
I didn't hear about that either. I don't hear about
that. It hit the fan.
Get a neighbor.
I don't get local news very well. I get a lot of national and international stuff, and most of it useless, but... Yeah, that's how it works. Well, I do not believe today was useless at all. I think Anonymous can use this information to his benefit. Please keep us informed on how things go. Wendy, it's always a pleasure. I hope now with Adam home, you can relax a little bit. Take it easy. Take shoes off. Relax.
Take it down. Yeah.
Take it down a notch. Oh, one quick note. Wendy does this Washington School charity thing every year. And there is currently, I haven't even told you about this, but I put up a print from Nerdtacular. It's basically our Last Supper photo of all of us, including Brian and everybody else, all the producers and people up at a table in the conference room that we use there. Got enough demand for it that we made a print out of it, a 12x36-inch print up on the store now, frogpants.com/store. And it's the first one there. Click that thing. And if you buy it, $5 from everything sold there will go straight to that charity. So,
cool.
So do that, everyone. Hop on over there.
And can we talk about...
I hope I get to sign a bunch of those next year.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Say what?
Can we talk about the psychological underpinnings of you as Jesus?
That whole thing, that would be more interesting if it was my idea. I had no idea. I had no idea we were doing it. So I got there. And who was it, Brian? Someone had an idea.
Well, I suggested the Norman Rockwell Thanksgiving deal, you know, where you're looking down the table and everybody's all together.
It. Right.
Tom Merritt said, we could do the Last Supper. And I was like, oh, my God, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
And so
they stuck me in the middle.
Yes. Just a goblet. Huh? You don't need a turkey.
Yeah.
We don't. Exactly. Just a bunch of candies on the table, a couple pitchers of water.
Yeah. It turned out,
I
think it's pretty funny.
It's funny.
I've only had one.
Bothered by that.
Yeah. I've only had one offended person, like I was telling you, and
they would have been Sopranos. Go look up Battlestar Galactica and Lost. They've all done it. Simpsons have like three or four of them.
Yeah. I mean, for me, Legion I stood there and went, oh, this is great and all. But then it occurred to me, there's even video of me saying this. I'm like, I'm about to die. This is the last time we're all going to be hanging out, and I'm about to die.
And at no point did Scott Johnson say, we're bigger than Jesus. No point did he say that.
We are bigger. Yeah. Well, I was Skyping with a client who is a fan, and he's like, just wondering if you've seen Scott as Jesus. I'm like, what? Because, you know, I only get my news straight from people's mouths, right?
Right.
And he's like, I just wondered if that was offensive to you. And I'm like, not at all, except I'm wondering about why he thinks he's Jesus. That's worrying me.
Yeah, anyway. If that's all you hear, then yeah, what the heck's going on? But have you seen it? I assume you've seen it now.
I looked on your Facebook page. You know, it's your like little banner or whatever.
Yeah, it's my photo
and,
up there.
It's very funny. And except my first thought was, you're like a big, mean Jesus. You don't look like a nice, effeminate Jesus.
I'm the tallest.
Last Supper.
Yeah, I'm the tallest guy there. I'm the tallest guy there. I look like a total freak. And the best part is there's like 17 apostles.
Right.
I know, totally.
There are way more people there than there should be, so Dan Brown can make a new novel about why there are so many people in this photo.
Exactly, yes. But there's only 16 pairs of legs under the table.
What's going on?
I was laughing.
So there you have it. Good stuff. A charity is always good, and we're happy to give to that. So go buy it and give to this cool charity every year. It's good. It helps a lot of really poor, needy kids and parents and families and a really good school program. So there you go. All right.
Thanks.
Wendy, have a fantastic week, and I'll see you soon, right? Aren't we going – we're going to Park City next week or 2 weeks or whatever it is. Sometime. Family reunion, whatever that is.
We should show up there. Yeah, we should. Just meet us.
Yeah, let's do that. We'll do some kind of – you should come up to Park City, Brian, and we'll do a little show from where we're having our family reunion. Because we'll be all
– happy to.
We'll, the sibling that we add to the dynamic we haven't had. That.
And you'll see all of our
That's
roles come out.
I can burp louder than any of you.
Only at Thanksgiving. All right, Wendy, take it easy. We'll see you later. Bye now.
Thanks, guys.
Bye now. Okay, off she goes.
Okay.
In the wildest, bluest of yonders. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know what time it is. I think it's
have
time.
Have we done what we come here to do?
I think we've come to done what we've come to done what we've done or something. There you go. We've done what we came to do. Should we tallywhack it?
Make it so.
Let's tallywhack it with Cleo. Hi, Cleo.
Hello.
I'm running for the router.
Oh,
so she's borrowing
I'm running
April's
for the router.
Phone.
Yes, really? Clearly.
What?
I found the router. I'm good.
Okay, you're good. Oh, I thought your router thing was better now. Isn't it better now?
Yeah, it was, and then my husband got dumb and moved it to an even worse place. So.
Oh, dumb
he
husband.
He just likes it when I
hover. Here in this Faraday cage.
Yep, it's crazy.
You don't think these giant Tesla coils will be a problem, do you? I just stick it right here between them. I don't
like
know why.
I game a portal in this house just trying to find good Wi-Fi.
I don't know why he's a 1918 reporter checking out the Hindenburg disaster, but for whatever reason, we went with that voice.
Which is good because he's Asian, so that was kind of fun.
Ah, there you go. I didn't know that. Your husband's Asian?
Yeah.
I wonder your kids are so cute.
My kids are half Chinese.
Yeah, that's how it works because my sister, Misha, and her husband's, so her husband's white as me, right? Sunburns even looking at the light or whatever. And she's as Korean as you get. And their kids are the cutest frickin' kids. Beautiful children.
All my nieces and nephews are like that. I am like the host mom at a Hello Kitty convention when we go out. All of my in-laws are Asians. And I'm like, hi.
That's awesome.
How you doing? Yeah, it's super
I love
cute.
That. I didn't know that you were a fellow Asian mixed family like my family. That's
I'm
great.
A big fan of the rice, man.
Oh, yeah. Rice is great. You can always eat rice. All right, so score it. How are we doing? What's up?
All right. I only have one that is just kind of like a really good play on words today. The rest of them are cover bands. So let's get into this.
Okay.
Jester let us know that Wood on Leather was my granny porn company. Go there. Yeah. Go there. All right. Go wow. Jester.
Is that the one Paula Deen's going to be working for?
Of course she is.
I hope not. Oh,
she's had offers.
Lord.
She's had offers.
She's wood on butter, isn't she?
Well, somebody called her and said, hey, Paula Deen, do you want to, I mean, things are going pretty rough for you right now. Do you want to, you know, there's a way we can fix this and make this work out. What do you say?
No.
Okay, fine. They moved on to the next gross old lady and said, do you want to be in porn? There are people who are into that, you know.
Have you seen that Tumblr site yet for Paula Deen writing things?
No.
It is the funniest thing on the planet.
Oh, no, I have. This came out a while ago.
Yeah, it's a while ago, yeah.
He's hysterical.
He's a shark.
Let me just check that out real quick. Make sure it's. They must be having a heyday with this now.
It's great now.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no kidding.
This must be the most popular thing ever made now. All right. Well, fantastic.
All right. So, would you like some cover bands now?
Yeah, cover bands. Go.
Now that I've wasted a little more time.
Sure,
okay.
Sure.
Jay Hammond News says news trickle. Oh, Jay Hammond C. I'm sorry. Wow. I need more coffee. Jay Hammond C says news trickle is my Huey Lewis cover band.
That's well good.
Done. It is. Yeah. Thorin, of course. Weird ass shit is my Bjork cover band.
Huey, hold on. Huey Lewis and the news trickle is now going to be what I call them from now on.
That's a senior citizen cover band. Yeah. That's good stuff.
Very good.
All right. And today's winner is Easy Reader, who said The Laborious Poor was my Men at Work cover band.
Yes. Very nice.
Well
that's
done.
A nice, very clever, that one. It I is. Think he should win.
There's some you. Smart people in the tadpole.
Yeah, no, it's weird. They're like geniuses in there.
It hey, Laborious Poor, you don't have to be Laborious Poor anymore.
What is that? Wait, hold on.
That's from 808 State, I want to say.
You don't have to be poor anymore. Oh, right, right, right. It's one of those things I love where they take, it's just like techno music with lots of talking. I love those.
Exactly.
Like 1919. It's like that song.
808 State, Robert Hardcastle, Paul Hardcastle's 19.
Take California, all that kind of stuff. I love that stuff. All right.
Yep.
Cleo, it is a pleasure, or as my dad would say, a pleasure. Let's do this again next week.
All right. Bye. See ya.
Okay. We got a video message from April.
Yes.
Apparently, this is what she was trying to tell us, right? But she could never get through. I don't know why her internet was such a poo. Apparently, it was enough to upload a Vine. So here it is. I'm waiting for it to loop to the part where she's done. Okay, ready? Okay, here we go.
Scott, I wanted to call and tell you that I met your mom in a bathroom at Nerdtacular in my costume.
Oh, my gosh, dude. She met my mom.
Nice.
I was a little quiet, but she met my mom at Nerdtacular in a bathroom. But she doesn't say what she said.
In costume.
In costume. Her, not my mom. I need to know more about that. I think that's very fascinating. I was going to tell you something about April. Now I can't remember what it was. Crap. I forgot what it was.
She's just adorable. I just got this thing's on loop right here with her smile.
She is adorable. Oh, I know what it was. So my wife and I had this conversation. Sometimes you have dumb conversations with your sibling or your spouse. I hate the word spouse. I also hate the word sibling. Anyway, we're sitting around and I said, somewhat how it came up, if there was only one person at Nerdtacular that you had to go on a date with, let's say you're all in high school, nobody knows each other. If there's one person at the event that you would pick for your date, who would that date be? And I picked April because I think she's cute as a button. No offense, everybody else. You know, I mean, look, Veronica, Nicole, you guys are all nice and everything. You guys are fine. But she, I don't know, something about her personality would have been totally my vibe in high school, right?
Yeah, totally. I think Veronica probably would be mine.
Yeah, they're both similar in that way.
They are
fun and goofy and great.
They're modest and cute and unassuming and right.
Girl next door types. And I like that. But Kim's was, now I got to make sure I remember because we went back and forth on this. I can't remember who she said.
Oh, no.
She
really?
Either said Brushwood or it wasn't Jerry. I can't remember. It was between, I don't remember where she settled, but it was between Brushwood and somebody else. So Brian Brushwood or
Tom Merritt. Probably Tom Merritt.
It might have been Tom.
Or Scott Fletcher?
No, it wasn't Fletcher.
Scott Fletcher actually is probably third on my list.
Totally. Anyway, it was a weird, it was an interesting conversation. You know, you just have those. Okay, that's it. We're done. Let's get the hell out of here. Oh my gosh. Okay. AlphaGeekRadio.com.
Weird, awkward rabbit hole.
Yeah, we did. For sure we did. AlphaGeekRadio.com is the Shoutcast stream. Go there. Enjoy it. It's awesome. And listen for what Todd's doing with Wootstock later today. I think that's great. Scott Fletcher does our fantastic voice bumpers. Big thanks to him as always. You can buy our t-shirt at /loot.com. You can buy it now. It's the most popular seller. Let's keep it that way. /loot.com. Frogpants.com/TMS is the website. Facebook.com/TheMorningStream for the morning stream goodness. There's also the Tadpool group on Facebook if you want to join that. I suppose there's a way in for you. TheMorningStream@gmail.com. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address on Twitter. You can follow us at MorningStream, Coverville, and Scott Johnson. Is there a Coverville today?
There will be a Coverville today. Rufus Wainwright turns 40 years old, and I've long purported that Rufus Wainwright's version of Hallelujah is the best version of Hallelujah, Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah. I don't, you know, you can keep your Jeff Buckley's and your John Cale's and all that stuff. For my money, Rufus Wainwright does the version, the ultimate version of that song.
It's the only version I think I agree with you, even though I have nothing to compare it to. I think it's pretty good.
And Adam Savage from Mythbusters agrees.
Oh, good.
I'm going to drop a name here that was one thing. We talked for 5 seconds at Dragon Con a few years ago, thanks to Len Peralta. And the topic of covers, of course, came up, and the topic of Hallelujah came up, and he and I agreed that Rufus Wainwright does the best version. So
you're saying
if you
myth
don't take
confirmed.
My word for it,
yeah.
Take it exactly. Yeah. Take it from a Mythbuster. That right.
Myth confirmed, Adam Savage likes that version best. There you go.
Exactly. So that's what's going to be today's episode of Coverville. Well, that song and probably you know, 8 or 9 other songs, mm-hmm. covers of and by Rufus Wainwright. He's done a lot of covers in his career. I don't know if I'll pull anything from his recent Judy Garland tribute concert at Madison Square. I think it was Madison Square Garden. He did an entire tribute to Judy Garland covers. So very interesting.
Let's see. Hold on. Let's do this to celebrate. Adam Savage thinks that that song's the best freaking version of it. All right, there you go.
What was that?
That was the Mythbusters. That was the Mythbusters theme.
Oh, okay. I don't recognize the theme music.
Really?
I just jump right to the show part. Yeah. All right,
great. Skip ahead, I guess.
Yeah. Boop, boop. That's what it sounds like to me because that's the TiVo noise.
All right.
And then they come on. I go boop, boop.
Yeah. Got it.
All right.
Anyway, what are we doing?
How about song? Yeah. Should we do a song to close out?
Yeah, let's do the longest we've ever played on the show. Let's do that.
Settle in, ladies and gentlemen. Kick your feet up. Make sure you fill up a cup of coffee. This one's going out to Brad in Vermont. Dear Maker's Mark and Wild Turkey, scotch and bourbon. Mm-hmm. On July 17th, I turn a ripe old 26, and Scott turns, well, more ripe and old, I guess. I'm writing in first to express my gratitude for all that Scott, Ibbot, and indeed the entire Frog Pants family does for all of us loyal listeners. Your shows have gotten me through some very hard times in my life, and I look forward to calling you all my friends for as long as I possibly can. I was the one who sent you guys Repo, the Genetic Opera, but no hard feelings, right? For my birthday, I'd like to request a cover done by either by or of the band Dream Theater. They've become my favorite prog metal band over the last few years, and they've done a few covers here and there, most recently on their album Black Clouds and Silver Linings. Okay. They're a bit verbose as covers go, so you may want to play it at the end of the show. Thanks again for all that you guys do, and can't wait to watch an episode live when I'm on vacation for my birthday. Yay. Above the Grow Show. Brad in Vermont.
Above the Grow Show. All right.
Above the Grow Show.
All right.
Or the Grow Snow. Above the Grow Snow.
Above the Grow Snow?
Above the Grow Snow. Not Gross Snow. Above the Grow Snow.
You know nothing, John Show. Anyway.
John Snow. Yeah. John Snow. You know nothing. All right.
She was great on Downton Abbey. She was really good on there.
Really? Mm-hmm. Ingrid was on Downton Abbey?
She was. First season, maybe part of second, but... I thought she was fantastic. She was really
I just
great.
Love her voice. I'm watching, I'm doing the rewatch of the second season mm-hmm. as I get ready to rewatch the third season. Yep. And I'm doing it with the HBO Go app where you can break into the show with all these interviews and, here's a map. We're talking about the Crag. Here's where the Crag is. Or, you know, da da da. It's really cool. And they've got an interview with the gal who plays Ygritte. And, her natural voice, mm-hmm. which she does change a little bit for the character, is just so great.
Oh, I love it. Adorable, redheaded Highlands girl, man.
Yes, exactly.
That is my kind of European business right there. I mean it. If you ask me what of the foreign lady types attract me, it's Scottish redheads.
It's the redhead, the right.
Yep.
So. You got a little bit of Highlander in you. Huh?
Yeah, a little bit. I think so. I want to live forever. All right, sorry. Go ahead.
All right, very good.
Okay, so
how about Dream Theater?
Okay.
I went with one of the shortest covers I've got by Dream Theater, which in this case is 7.5 minutes long.
Oh,
this one comes from the tribute to Pink Floyd called Pink Box. Came out in 2007. Go ahead, people, with your cover band names of what Pink Box is, which cover band it is.
Ooh, yeah.
This is performed by Derek Sherinian, who is the man, the lead singer of Dream Theater. So it still counts as a Dream Theater cover.
Okay.
It's Welcome to the Machine, and it's 7.5 minutes of it, so settle in.
Sounds great. Let's get right to it.
Pack a lunch.
Yeah, pack a lunch, everybody. Enjoy this. Aren't computers easy?
Aren't computers easy?
They sure are. What was her name?
Kim Commando.
Kim Commando. Thanks so much for reminding us how easy computers can be.
Kim, I'm not wearing any underwear, Commando.
She is freeballing it. All right. It's Welcome to the Machine. We'll be back Monday with a brand new week of episodes. Thank you guys for joining us. We'll see you then.
podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Oh, I'd like to see your cities.